Good morning, folks. Welcome to the December 6th Public Safety and Correction Committee meeting. And Carol, would you lead us in the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Approval of the minutes from November 1st.
So moved.
Any additions or corrections? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Emergency services. Tim.
Good morning. There we go. Good morning. All right, it has several items for you this morning. First is the Motorola contract. This is for our maintenance contract for annual maintenance, $157,352.17. This amount is about consistent with what we normally pay, and it comes out of the state interoperable communications grant.
Second.
Discussion.
What's a nice cold package?
What's a what?
That's what I said. What's gold. A nice cold package? A 30 pack or?
It's a gold package, which is our the gold package is our dispatch consoles.
Oh, that's gold, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I said cold. Sorry about that.
I have a motion and a second. Did I get a vote? Oh, okay, moving on. Oh, no vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
All right. Next, I have the Code Red renewal. This is our notification system for notification of the public in the event of an emergency, which has been used several times this year, unfortunately. $21,656.25. This comes out of the 911 budget, and it is a budgeted item.
So,
second with a question. Is this an increase from last year?
I think there's a slight increase, but it's very minimal.
Okay.
But it is budgeted, so we know exactly what the contract price is going to be each year.
Okay.
Anybody else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Most carried.
All right. Next, I have the 911 HVAC unit. We have a capital project in the 911 system for upgrade of the HVAC system within the 911 center. We've got some issues there that need to be resolved. We've been working with Buildings and Grounds and also with Danforth. There's $275,196.96 in the capital project we'd like to use for this project. I was hoping Eric would be here this morning to give you an update on kind of the details of that, but unfortunately he's not here this morning. So
I was confused on this. Is this, was there a bid or?
So we're going to use the commodities contract. So it's through purchasing. We have a contract through community commodities. This is one of the standardized commodities contracts that we use for a lot of these types of projects, from what I understand from Eric.
From the state?
It's a national commodities.
It's a national co-op.
Yes.
That we can use and piggyback off of if a municipality did the original bid for it, which Andy verifies. And this is one of those that we can use.
And how much money was it estimated to be?
So I have about $275,000, and basically what we're doing is changing out the controllers, changing out some of the diffusers, and then putting in a couple of new units, a humidifier, and then a water softener in the building. Eric had indicated that it would be within this cost of $275.
And that's not something that we're thinking we might get better prices on with a bid?
That I'm not sure of. You'd have to ask Eric, I guess.
The prices, if I could, the prices through the cooperative purchasing agreement, we've used that for both COB and the jail through Gordian, and Danforth is the contractor for most of those. The prices have been, within market range. We've kept an eye on that to make sure we're not, upside down on that or not getting a competitive price. So the prices look good from our past experience.
Yeah, and it is Gordian that we're using with this contract as well.
So Scott, you look a little disturbed.
Well, I don't think we've ever done this before where you just have an open-ended authorization to spend a total amount of money without having any detail on what the parts and pieces are.
So are you suggesting that we get an estimate as to each facet that they're doing?
That's what I would like to see, yeah, rather than an open checkbook. And was this capital project, Jack, what was this capital project originally from?
We have started socking money away for this. I think I mentioned, probably a year ago that the controls out there and keeping the temperature right has been an issue consistently. So we started socking money away a few years ago. So it's just kind of accumulated. But we could certainly get you the formal scope of work so that you could see exactly what's being done.
Yeah, I mean, I think that would be a lot more helpful. I've never been against facilities projects. I mean, it's part of doing business is you have to replace and maintain and update those. But to just have a total amount without having any detail, I'm not comfortable with.
We can bring it back next month.
Well, I was wondering, do you know how long these numbers are good for that are through the National Co-op? Because if they're going to be good for a while when we're close to $300,000, I would think it might be worth bidding, depending. I'd like to hear what other people think about it.
We can check the prices on the duration, Mr. Mullen. I believe this is one, and correct me if I'm wrong, is this the one from the town of Greece? Jack, do you know that they put the bid out?
That sounds right.
Yeah, so we've been using this for a couple of years. The town of Greece put it out across the state for all municipalities to use. And everybody that would possibly bid in this area bid on that, and it was awarded to the lowest bidder. So it's the same cast of characters that we would be sending out bids to. And we can verify that, but I think that's what this one is.
So Mr. Mullen, do you want to make a motion?
Well, I'm not wanting to approve it without more information.
Well,
table it.
They're going to bring it back. We're not going to vote on it today. So we'll bring it back with more information from specifics as to exactly what we're replacing.
Right. Yeah, I'll move to postpone it till next month.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you. Next item I have, I'd like to request a special meeting before the legislative meeting on the 20th to accept the tower RFP. We have a tower RFP right now for tower maintenance that's on the street, supposed to be back by the 15th. And I'd like to award that before the first of the year so that right after the first of the year, we can get moving with projects. We have outgoing projects that are on hold right now for tower maintenance work. So I would like to see if we could have a special meeting on the 20th to accept that RFP.
We can do that, but what towers are we
looking this at? This is all of the towers for the whole county communication system. It's a all-encompassing RFP that covers maintenance and upgrades, tower analysis, structural analysis, and inspections of the towers.
It's fine with me.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Special meeting on the, what is it? What's the regular board meeting?
20th.
On the 20th. I have one other item for you. I think I sent you an email, Mr. Malter. As you know, we've ran short on our coroner's budget. I came back to committee a couple of months ago, asked for, I think it was $50,000. It appears we're going to still be short this year. So I need to look at an additional $25,000 to go into coroner's budget, specifically for the salaries and for medical examiner's line item.
Motion.
This coming out of contingency?
Yes, it'll be coming out of contingency.
When we approved this a couple months ago, I told you you didn't have enough money.
I believe you did, sir. Yes.
All right. Do we have a motion and a second? Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mulder?
Yes.
I have a couple of questions for Tim while he's there.
Sure.
I know that we've been working with the state, congressional leaders on FEMA assistance for homeowners. Has there been any progress in that?
So I checked with the state Office of Recovery last week, who had checked with FEMA and asked whether there was any movement on the individual assistance appeal. Unfortunately, they indicated that it was still under review. So we have not gotten any additional background from FEMA on whether that's going to go forward or not. We continue to work with the human service agencies across the county in United Way and the Corning Foundation to support homeowners with their needs for individual grants up to $2,500. Through the flood recovery money that was submitted through the United Way. So we're working with agencies on doing that. Most of the folks that we have identified that have needs have received some grants. There are a few that are out there that need some funding, but the majority of them have been covered under that project.
Okay. And one other question. How's the changeover going for the radios to the high band frequency?
Pretty well. Most of the agencies have cut over to the new high band. Functionally, it's working pretty well. We have some gaps in paging, which we knew we were probably going to have some gaps in paging. Overall, it seems to be working very well. We're working on trying to identify where those gaps are and fill those voids with additional tower locations that we already have in place that we can partner with. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Okay.
But everything seems to be working as it should be.
You haven't had any complaints in feedback?
Not really specifically, except for the paging. And then again, some of the paging could be too about, confusion of the new equipment, not being on the selected correct channel and things like that we found. We're also looking at some programming issues that may be an issue with the paging. Concern having a priority scan on versus a non-priority scan. So we're looking at those issues right now, trying to resolve all the complaints that we've had. But the majority of the complaints really have been very minuscule. There has not been many complaints at all. Really.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Anything else for Tim? Thanks, Tim.
All right, thank you.
Sheriff.
Morning.
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 My first thing up is the inmate phone services. I put it down as an RFP because I didn't know which way you would want to go. I have a contract I've had since October from GTL, our current provider, and I sent it to Mr. Malter, Mr. Vanette, and Mr. Wheeler for review, and I haven't gotten any feedback on it. So I still have that contract. But if you would rather go to an RFP for those services, we'd have to get that moving soon because the current contract is up in February. So the contract that they forwarded increases the commission that we would receive from 55% to 80% on phone calls and 0 to 20% on tablet message usages that they supply. The only downside is the FCC ruled as I predicted. And the amount we get, they charge per phone call has gone from 40 cents a minute down to 15 cents per minute. So it'd be an increase in commission, Whether or not that equals an increase in revenue, I can't say yet because of the change in rates.
So are you happy with the provider?
Yes, we've got over a 20-year relationship with the provider, and they're very responsive to our needs. I believe, if I remember right, Jack, last year was about $120,000 that brought in revenue.
Yeah, approximately.
Yeah.
So from a legal standpoint, can we just renew this or do we have to go to bid?
That's the question. Is the last time an RFP was put out for this? I don't know the answer to that.
So the State Sheriff's Association puts out an RFP. They did one year before last where they invite in on a statewide contract for all providers.
Did you talk to Andy about this? Because that's really a question for Andy.
Yeah,
Andy question, because the State Sheriff's Association is not a municipality. So we usually sometimes mostly can't piggyback off of that. So this is an Andy question of the last time an RFP went out to see if we need to put it back out.
And is there a time limit when these RFPs have to go out?
You're supposed to put them out every time. So if you send out an RFP and you have a four-year award, you're supposed to put it out. You can waive that for professional services if there's a reason, like
join the meeting.
A landfill where they're in the middle of a project and we need to keep the same people on in order to complete a project, that would be your waiver process. I don't know that there's a waiver process here. So Andy would have to take a look at it to determine if it needed to go back out or if there was a justification to not put it back out.
So the problem here is that this thing ends in February. If we have to put an RFP out, are we going to have time enough to secure another provider?
Well, I think because we already have a special meeting, we can have a discussion with Andy to see if we need to put one out. And if so, that could be discussed at the special meeting on the 20th.
On the 20th. Would that be okay?
Yeah. Is there any harm in doing the RFP anyways?
It typically takes about 6 months for Andy to turn around an RFP.
Mm.
That's past February.
Well, he could turn it around quicker than that if need be, certainly.
Just go with it? Yeah, I would say we should just go forward with it and get it in motion so we can get it back.
Well, you're suggesting we put an RFP out at this point?
What's the downside of doing that?
Well, I would agree with Jen, if that's okay with you folks, is to get Andy's feedback. And then, you know, the 2 weeks in between this and your meeting won't make a substantial difference in terms of the time frame. We could if it's determined that, yeah, we need to do an RFP, we could certainly start working on that in between now and your special meeting.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sheriff, do you know, are there many other operators out there that do this?
There's two primary companies, Securus and GTL. GTL is the one we use. Okay. Nationally, they have about 95% of the market.
Okay.
Well, and it seems like the company, I mean, we could probably get an RFP out. The companies could just basically copy what they've already done with the Sheriff's Association and not have to reinvent the wheel for them to get something back to us if we need to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll have this at the special meeting on the 20th. Okay.
Thank you. Moving on to the 2022 STOP DWI agreements. This is the amount that we reimburse the individual agencies. So would you like me to read them, Jen, or can I give you a copy? Okay. It's a total of $68,600 in overtime reimbursement and $14,600 in equipment, where we purchase part of equipment for the agencies.
And this is similar to allocations in previous years.
Yes.
Make the motion.
I'll second it.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
And my final thing is the Lexapol agreement. I emailed everybody on Friday, and Jen worked with their legal to get it cleaned up so that it's good to go. Everybody has agreed that it's a sole source. Basically, we'd be getting 13 months for the cost of 12 and be able to start right away with no increase in the amount. We got a quote in 2021 this keeps us at that 2021 quote rather than waiting till 2022 and seeing what the quote would be then.
What is the 2021 cost?
34. It's just shy of 35,000.
Okay.
It's 34 something.
And we do have that in your budget.
Yes, that's budgeted. Yes. Yep. And we don't have to pay it till 22.
Okay. So we're going to approve it now, pay for it in 22.
Yes.
I have a motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
I have one question, if I could. Could you explain what the benefit is of social media, namely Facebook and the sheriff's posts about all the arrests and leaving it open for public comments? Because you read through some of those comments and I'm wondering, at what point does someone review them and at what point do you shut them off if they get out of hand?
If they become obscene, offensive, we notify Facebook and they remove the comment and they block that person from posting again.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if in certain circumstances we've run into a few where I've talked to the sheriff or under sheriff or investigator Lewis, who I think still is kind of running, the social media stuff. And as you know, we can't, if we allow comments, we can't edit them unless they're profane. And that's, profane threatening is when you can delete the comment, send it to Facebook. But we've worked with Jen on this. There has been, I can only think of one instance where we made the decision jointly to shut off comments completely for that post, which it's kind of binary. You have the ability to keep comments on with only being able to filter out the profane or turn them off. And so we did that for one post.
My personal opinion, and I know that this isn't necessarily what we're asking for, but is I'd rather just see them off. I see anytime anybody's accused of something, and I've seen people accused and then found innocent of it, people are just teeing off about basically what a scumbag the person is and thinking of anything they can think of about, one time that they ran into the person and didn't like the way they looked at them or something. And so I think that even, some of the information in the posts has been questionable when I've looked at them, but the comments below, especially, I don't see any need for.
Well, I guess what is there value in allowing comments, I guess, in your opinion?
It's freedom of speech.
Is this part of the reform, the police reform package that we put together?
With transparency.
As far as disclosure sitting out there?
Well, transparency of the department and the actions the department takes, but opening it up a public discussion for every single arrest that gets posted on social media. I don't know. It just, they become sounding boards for family members. Joe got arrested for doing this. And then you get 20 of Joe's relatives that are commenting and 20 of the victim's relatives that are commenting. Yeah. And it's like, what is the value? I mean, what's the point of having that?
Yeah, for what it's worth, I'd agree. We have done that with public health as we notified you folks because it just became very toxic. And there's nothing, in talking with Jen and others, there's no requirement for the county to provide a forum for discussion, argument, things like that. Certainly posting the information has a value. But certainly for public health and other things where it's vitriolic like that, we've disabled comments.
So James, what do you think about this as far as continuing or discontinuing this?
I have no stake in it either way. We can look at it and look and see if we feel there is. I'll get with the team and see if they feel there's benefit to it. And if there's not, we can disable it. I don't have a problem with that. I honestly don't read them. I post and go away because there's so many knuckleheads out there that put stuff on. So I post and move away and I don't read what the responses are typically. So I can look at it. I have no horse in that race.
So can we look at it?
Yes, absolutely.
And give us
thank you.
And what your opinion is at the next meeting, Steve?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I put a post up on Facebook, I, as the poster, can delete comments
We can't delete comments because then we're censoring First Amendment rights. It's all or nothing.
Because we're a government agency.
Yeah, it's a forum or not.
Yeah. I say get rid of
them. I mean, it's just people who don't know what they're talking about just stirring the pot. And if it's a matter of getting publicity for the sheriff, I'm not saying, I don't mean that in a negative way. If it's a matter of getting, you know, letting the people know what the sheriff's department's doing, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see the point of letting people who have no idea what they're talking about spout out about things and just stirring the pot more.
About the only factual comment on every single one of those is they complain about bail reform, and this is what bail reform has got us. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I agree with that one.
Mm-hmm. It serves no purpose.
So what's the consensus of the legislators here?
Get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
Just take the comment. You're saying take the comments off.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Make it so people can't post comments. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you can make that your default setting in Facebook. So when they post, it's just thumbs up. People can like it, you know, they can react. So you can see like hearts, all that garbage, but you don't, but they have no ability.
Emojis, but not words.
So people can still on their own Facebook page, say what they want.
They can copy it, share it and put whatever they
want. So let them do that and take it off the.
Yep.
Sure.
So we're in agreement.
Sounds good. We'll make it happen.
All right. Perfect. Thank you.
Yep. No worries.
Good job.
And Mr. Potter, the exhaust thing, that's primarily the vehicle exhaust. That's a downstate issue. They've got these little cars with these super loud exhausts that are terrorizing neighborhoods. That's what that law was about.
Well, I would invite you to come over and listen to some of these pickup trucks trailing up through to the point that they wake up my grandson.
Well, we can't have that now, can we?
Well, it's, you know.
I agree.
Get right on that, Sheriff.
It's been in the vehicle and traffic law that inadequate exhaust is anything that's altered from what came from the factory. That's always been the law. Well, this was something new for a political purpose.
Yeah, I believe, especially on some of these diesel trucks, they put resonators on them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessary.
Right.
Well, if you're 18 years old, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
Whoever young.
Yeah. Boy with his big rattle.
Did you put cards on your bicycle wheels?
No.
I did.
Okay.
Yes. Anything else? Yeah.
Anything else?
Anything else?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you too.
Jennifer.
So back in October, you gave us authority to put out an RFP for the Assigned Counsel Program Mentor, which is financed by ILS. That RFP got zero results. I'm asking to put it back out for another round. When it went out, there was some miscommunications. It didn't get forwarded to the parties that we were hoping it got forwarded to. So this time we do believe we will get a response because we'll get it out to the Bar Association.
Second.
Discussion.
This will be quicker than a 6-month turnaround, the RFP.
It'll probably go out tomorrow.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Jack?
I have one item. If no one else has anything for open session, I have one item involving employment history of particular individuals for executive session, please.
Okay. Mr. Malt, is there something I can bring up with the committee? I don't think before we go into executive session, if it's a matter of executive, then John Kelleso. I've had a couple people approach me, people who are in a position to know about these things. And my question is for you and probably get transferred up to the DA's offices. Do any assistant district attorneys have their own cars that are provided by the district attorney's office or the county? Do we know the answer to that question?
You know, Jack?
I do.
You do? Okay.
I'd rather not discuss it in open session.
Okay.
Give me a second to think of a reason to discuss it in executive session.
Well, if it's something other than it might make somebody uncomfortable, then I'm okay with that.
It's more than that.
Okay.
There's a particular person in which there is a matter being looked at that would not be for open session.
So before we go into executive session, a couple things. One is the changing the meeting date, the time, January 3rd to 10:30. And I'm assuming we're going to have the organizational meeting prior to that. Okay. So So do we need a motion to do that?
Second.
I get a motion?
Yeah, second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed?
I don't care.
And the other thing is that...
That's a good attitude.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, well, expect what you want.
The chairman asked us to look over our goals for 2021 and give us a report. So I guess the things that I had down here, what we were looking at doing, and one was a driver diversion program, which we started up again in 2021, and that seems to be going well. And I think we should get a report from maybe at the next meeting on the driver diversion program. The other thing was the district courts that I'm really looking at trying to move forward. And according to Jennifer, we now have a new administrative law judge. I don't know who that is.
Judge Taylor.
So I don't know, maybe if it's up to me or up to the chairman to sit out there and kind of feel out this administrative law judge as to what his feelings our district courts are before we move forward on this thing. But I'd be more than happy to write a letter and as chairman of this committee and do that. So the other thing is the EMS study sitting out there. And of course, we just received that. I think that we need to do something in 2022, have some meetings to see where we want to go with this and get the appropriate people. I've talked to some of the people involved from my district that would be more than happy to attend a meeting sitting out there and see what we can do to kind of shore up the ambulance service in Steuben County. So that's something I don't know. I'm assuming everybody's had a chance to read this 90 some page dossier sitting out there, and most of it's just financial at what you're really looking at. But I think some of the discussions we've had, it looks like we're willing to do something, but not do like Livingston County and set up their own ambulance service.
Right.
So I think two or three maybe meetings with all the people in the county that are involved in this and try to come up with a solution is where I'm looking to go with this. So.
Yeah, I think it'd be good to have hearings on that.
I would say if I could also, it's timely that there's some legislation, a few different pieces of legislation pending in New York State dealing with this, giving locals additional options for EMS, I guess. So it would be timely. And as the legislature gets in session, we can have a better idea of what they're thinking too.
Kelly?
Since I've been chairing the fire advisory board, I wondered if it would be appropriate for us to set up a similar board for the emergency services so that we can get the most interested parties in there and discussing what our options are and what is the best direction to go.
Well, I don't know. Do we need to set up another board, or can we just set up a committee sitting out there of the appropriate people? And just, this is something I don't see as an ongoing situation once we come up with a resolve. So. But we can look at that. So
yeah, I would think a special committee to just consider the report, the suggestions of the report, bring certain people in that are experts in certain areas to discuss and provide information and go that way. I mean, I know you've been having discussions, Kelly, about a EMS advisory board, but I think, if anything, that would just be a sub part of the fire advisory board organization.
Wait, I'm okay with that. It just seems to me, I mean, there's almost, unless there's other formalities, there's no difference between forming a special committee or fire or forming a board. Like I said, unless there's some formality, but it's important to get the right players in there and have them have the right say.
Well, but forming a special committee is people that can vote on spending money. A fire advisory or EMS advisory board doesn't have any power to do that.
Yeah, those people can still be invited to discuss it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for what it's worth, that would be my suggestion as well, is that you folks control it from a board standpoint, from a voting standpoint. So whether an ad hoc committee formed by the chairman or certainly PSC could do it. And then I would agree, bring in all the relevant players to not really provide testimony, but provide feedback to you And they could certainly be part of the discussion, but I guess my opinion is you folks would want to control the votes on that.
When we're done with this discussion, can we circle back to the district courts for just a moment?
Yeah, so
anything else on the EMS study? So we'll just wait till the first of the year.
Yeah, and as far as your review of goals, thank you for doing that. It seems to me that you have two goals already heading into 2022 that are still important and need to be worked on. So
there's also some discussion on the cap court, doing it virtually rather than in person. Is there any update as to where we are with that?
Sure,
yeah, we've lost the ability through executive order and OCA mandate to be doing that virtually any longer. We pressed for it. We've talked to Albany. We've sent letters. We actually last year, earlier this year, I think we advised you that Assemblyman Palmisano and Senator O'Meara introduced legislation to give us flexibility. I think it was through September, wasn't it, Jen, to extend. Yeah, and that didn't pass. So unfortunately, our ability there is no longer, but we could certainly continue to advocate in Albany for that. And we've talked to OCA a number of times about just the efficiencies we achieve by doing that.
Until there's legislation in Albany, OCA won't even discuss it any longer with us. It's dead as far as they're concerned.
Thank you.
Yep. Judge Taylor has been very receptive to us on other issues. He's been very good to work with. I just want to throw that out there. The new supervising judge.
Because Doran was basically dead against any district court of any.
Anything that didn't glorify Judge Doran.
He was dead
against.
Karen?
Yeah. So I was looking back at Jennifer's memo on creating district courts. I have it here. And the steps that it required were for us to adopt a resolution requesting the state create one, that the state adopt the legislation, and then the voters approve. Are you thinking of it would be a better process to go to the judge because that might help smooth the skids for the state portion of it before we do too much work on it?
There's approval sitting out there, even if we adopt a resolution, because If he's for district courts, then it's going to make the process that much easier. That's my thinking.
To be able to advocate for us with the legislature, basically.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, the same with Assemblyman and State Senator. I think they need to be brought into the loop. This is something that, you know, is becoming more apparent and something that the state is probably not going to want to do because it's a state charge. They have to run these district courts. However, as these mandates kick in 2023 for caseloads for Mr. Sorrow's office and assigned counsel office, we most likely are anticipating, and we can let you know as we go forward, are not going to be able to meet those state mandates with the size of the county geographically and the case caps. It's in the amount of attorneys we have. It just doesn't appear that it's going to be able to be met no matter what we do. We can't clone people. So I think that this discussion with Judge Taylor is not even just, I've had this discussion with Rochester and the 7th Judicial District for about 2 years, and everybody's in the same spot and everybody's getting worse. So it's not a Steuben County only issue. It is the entire district does not have enough attorneys to meet these mandates.
And there, yeah, we could couple it with, you know, access to justice issues on, you know, people be able to have defense and not only that, but just settling civil disputes and things as well. It would be a lot, much better forum.
Yeah, I see an alliance really the best bet, where I know that between Sean and my office and our discussions in the 7th Judicial, there's at least 4 or 5 other counties that are quickly coming on board with having the same problems we're having as we get closer to the case cap mandates in 2023. So I
know that the state has to pick up the cost of these district courts, but I think there needs to be a study done based on what revenues they would generate, because the towns and the villages get a piece of this action sitting out there. And so I think maybe that needs to be looked at. So,
yep.
Carol?
Question for Jack. Is NYSAC involved in this discussion at all and advocating for us on this issue?
On district courts, no. They've been involved. I've talked to Steve Aquario a number of times about this and how important it would be. But it seems like it's the large geographic counties like us with many towns and villages and cities that it's the main issue for. So I wouldn't say it's a priority for NYSEC. They're aware it's a priority for us, but I can flag that again for them as we head into this legislative session.
Steven?
I mean, to me, it seems like an issue that progressives would be more in line with than perhaps, you know, the political tenor of necessarily our county, because I think it can be presented as where you have access to justice, you have access to trained attorneys who would be judging your cases and things of that nature. I think if it's presented that way, we might get more support from people who might tend towards my side of the political spectrum more than this county side of it for it overall. But I think the fact that we are a county, you know, upstate, you know, tends to the conservative side, that we're the ones pushing for that, I think might make us points with the majority of the legislature who might not otherwise be sympathetic to generally what we believe in up here.
I stay out of politics best I can, and I see both sides of the aisle should be in support of this because it saves these local towns a ton of money that they just don't have for no revenue. And they're not getting quality representation. You can't get a hold of the courts. They aren't staffed. They're closed. We don't have attorneys to send there. I mean, I could talk about this for hours. It's a mess, and you can see the train wreck coming.
And we don't have enough judges to handle the town courts. Town courts don't have anybody who's interested in, I'm not saying all of them, but there's many towns who have to share judges because they can't get anybody to take the job.
Sure. Amen.
Okay.
Well, there's one or two courts in the county that probably might be opposed to this because they make a lot of money. But they're definitely in the minority.
Yeah, they are. And I mean, you know, they don't have to pay their people anymore. They don't have to turn the lights on. They don't have to. It's a million things.
Right.
But some of their monies come from the driver diversion program. And even with district courts, my understanding is that money would still go to the towns.
There's a trickle down. There's a county portion that would pay for the district courts. There's a yearly set apportionment that the county pays for out of it. So the money still does trickle down a little bit, but it's just not a headache for them anymore.
Right.
Just one other topic before you go into executive session. I wondered if Jack or Jen could give us an update on the DA's push to do these tag cameras and how much money we were going to be making off this gold-plated program.
I had the last discussion I had of any substance with the DA was we needed to know what the services were so Andy could take a look at it to see if it needed to be put out for an RFP or a bid.
And nothing.
I have not heard back, but to Brooks's benefit, he's been rather busy. So I'm sure this is on a back burner for now.
All right.
Have you heard anything, Sheriff?
No, sir.
Anything else before we go into the executive session? Motion? Second? Did I get a second?
Second.
Moment. All in favor?
Aye.
We're in the executive session. Thanks, Aaron. Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you. Mr. Nichols, you're up.